everyone, welcome to the Cultivate Podcast through the Grove Church. Thank you so much for joining us. And we are in the middle of a series where we're talking about the Bible. Mark and I spent a few episodes just kind of talking about the importance of truth, talking about where the scriptures came from, how to interpret kind of some more academic things. And then our producer, our very own Abigail, we did a little Q&A on some of those topics. And now we've been hanging with Melanie Alexander. What is up? Local
Hi.
Expert.
Hello.
Local expert, local celebrity.
Yes.
You got your own You got your own video YouTube channel.
I do.
Right?
Yeah.
And you were recently featured on ESPN.
I was twice.
Twice.
Twice, yes.
You can't. Yes.
Well, it's kind of a long story. It was a rivalry basketball game that was a rematch from the absolute worst call in NCAA tournament history in the first
worst
round.
Worst call in NCAA tournament history.
Absolutely was. And I made a t-shirt in honor of how bad it was. And I wore this t-shirt to this rematch game and I got the cameraman's attention and I got on camera two times with my custom-made
I feel like
t-shirt.
Not calling traveling on Chris Webber might be a worse call.
I don't know. Not for me.
So we have here Melanie Alexander, both college basketball expert, reached for the wrong team. You also said you went to Ole Miss.
Yes, I did.
You went to Ole Miss, but you're a Memphis
just
fan.
Slid
did
that
you
in there.
Ever also root for Ole Miss, like when you were a student there?
Yeah, when I was a student there.
But you never would have, like if they'd played each other, you would have...
Yeah, I would have still gone with Memphis, yeah.
Okay, would have been
Memphis
difficult.
Is in my blood. It's deep, deep down in there.
Is Ole Miss... You still have fondness towards Ole Miss? Or is it they're gone now and it's just...
I mean, if they're
Penny Hardaway forever.
I mean, you know, I'd like for them to do well. I don't really follow them much.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So last time we spent some time talking about the people who are maybe want to read the Bible or maybe know that they should read the Bible and why they don't. And we had two main reasons why people don't.
Mm-hmm.
And what were they?
That it's confusing,
mm-hmm.
that it's hard to understand. You know, kind of why it matters and what the story is as a whole, and that it's been misused in the past to cause some damage and some hurt.
Okay. All right. So when we talked about this last time, you mentioned with the first one that it's confusing, and you said that is an easy problem to solve.
I do think it's easy.
Well, then
yeah,
solve it for me right now.
Okay. So I think it comes down to understanding that it is one story.
Okay.
Like, yes, there are 66 books, and yes, it spans thousands of years, but it is one story. And the story is about God. It's not about us, primarily, but it is about God. What he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. It looks into the past. It looks into the future. It has everything that we need to know. That we need to know.
Right.
Maybe there's more we want to know, but
we need
to know.
Write that down.
It has been given to us to tell us what we need to know, what God has done and is doing and will do. And there is a central theme. There are main characters. What happens in the Old Testament is relevant to what happens in the New Testament. All of that is needed and required. It's not like these are a bunch of random old stories and this God over here and then Jesus shows up and the rest of this is unimportant. It's all one story. And I think when we can really wrap our heads around that, it makes the whole of the Bible a lot more compelling. We talked a little bit last episode about the Harry Potter illustration,
right.
That,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you kind of get the epic struggle of Harry versus Voldemort and you understand the arc of the story, then all of those little individual scenes that happen along those seven books are much more interesting, and you see where they fit as they move along, you know, the progression of what is going on in that story. So I think that, you know, some education on it, on learning how the Bible fits together and what is kind of the general structure and what is really the arc of the story.
So if you came to me and I have read the Harry Potter series more times than an adult male should it's more than I'm willing to say out loud.
Okay.
But if someone would come to me, he's like, oh man, can't really get into that. I don't think I'm going to read it. I was like, here's what I would assure them that it was great.
Mm-hmm.
It starts as a kid's book, but it
yeah.
progresses as you go.
Mm-hmm.
And it is about, I would say it's a, and it's really cool the way it integrates Like that there's the world we live in also has magic. It's not a world that has magic. It's our world that has magic, and you should totally read it. But I wouldn't give them the, I wouldn't tell them the overall story, because the overall story, like I want you to, I want it to unfold.
Yeah.
With the Bible, you say, hey, you just need to understand it's one story. Would you recommend somebody kind of understand the synopsis first? Like, would it be important? Like, I want to understand the category, like where this all fits. I want to know like a 3-paragraph summary of the big picture story and then work my way through. Or is it just enough you think, hey, just here's the highlights. Now just jump in.
I think it's helpful to understand kind of the the overarching kind of beginning and end of the story, because it just helps, especially in the Old Testament, it just helps those things make a lot more sense. It right. helps us understand why it matters and where they fit. So, and let's be honest, like, I mean, how many times have, I'm going to read the whole Bible,
you
know? And you start and you get to 2 chapters in Leviticus and you're like, what is all of this insanity? And you give up. Right. And so, I think it's a little bit harder than maybe Harry to just dive in and enjoy it.
Right. For
so
sure.
I think having some idea of like, where is this going?
And preparing people for, not every bit of it is going to be particularly interesting.
There are some really boring parts in there. Yeah.
I think giving people permission to do that. I think we're already now into episode 3 where we're giving people tips, but I think that's a good one, which is just giving yourself permission to be like, oh, part of this is, is boring.
Yeah. It can be, especially when we're surrounded by constant entertainment currently in our lives, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So the second one was that people have misused it, and you said it was trickier to overcome that. So what do you have? How do we overcome that? Like I've had some damage done to me, or people have hurt me with the Bible, all the things that you said. How do I overcome that? And say, hey, I'm going to be somebody who reads the Bible.
I really want to give, just honor to that experience that people have had. Like, I think that's important to realize that that's true and real, and people have suffered under, you know, misuse of God's word. But I think that it's a mistake to just then stop there and say, therefore, I'm just never going to give it up. Because what you're missing is the incredible heart of God, like the incredible love and character and beauty of the most amazing thing that's out there.
Wow.
And like that's what this book really is about. Like that's what is in here. God is so smart and his plan is so perfect and what he is doing is so good. And it would just be a real shame, I think, to not try and kind of get past or maybe just, you know, step around the ways that it's been misused.
Okay.
But pursue the good, loving, wise God that is behind it. I would hate to see someone miss out on that. Because they're like, I really do think that the Bible is healing, that the Bible can change hearts, can change the way you feel about your day, can change your experience in your day, can change your family, can change your marriage. And, you know, but we have to be willing to give it a shot, right?
Right. Well, that's good. All right, so that's a good bridge to the next question I was going to ask you, which is let's put aside that we have any hangups. And maybe it's not a hangup that is keeping us from reading the Bible. Maybe it's just kind of like, it's fine, I guess, but I don't really need to. Maybe I just need a little bit of extra momentum. So, again, broad question, not why shouldn't they read it, but why should they? Like, why should I? Like, what is, I don't want to ask, it sounds too self-centered in a sort of way, but maybe I do. Like, what's in it for me?
Yeah.
Why should I read the Bible?
Right. So we live in a time right now where there is infinite amounts of information at our fingertips, right? And also in a culture, this culture of information, with people constantly telling us what's important and what we need to care about.
Right.
You know, you've got the 24-hour news cycle. I've got texts coming through right now on my phone telling me about things going on in junior high school, right?
Woohoo!
I have the texts that come through from the Memphis beat writer about all the stories he's writing about college basketball. And, you know, like, there is infinite amount of stuff that is important, you know, that's thrust upon us as important. And it's just, it's really, really easy, I think, to get lost. I think it's easy for our minds to get lost, for our hearts to get lost, just wrapped up in all the other things out there that we're constantly told that we need to care about. Mm-hmm. As a person myself who has struggled with, you know, diagnosed depression and anxiety, like, I can find a million things on my phone right now to feel sad and anxious about. Like, they just exist, right? I don't have to go looking for that. So where can I find something that will ground me? Where can I find something that will tell me, no, Melanie, that's not really that important, and it's okay to not give that your full attention. Here's what's really important. Like, that is found in God's word. That's where that comes from. In Romans, he talks about renewing your mind. Like, our minds, my mind,
right,
is so easily distracted. And I do think that that is true to an extent for most all of us right now, right? And so when we need to know what really matters, what is really true in a situation, what we really need to care about, what are the things that we need to focus our energy and our attention on, like, that can only be found in God's word. That's really where that's going to come from.
I mean, I'm hearing you say, maybe I'm sure, like, is grounded a word?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm hearing, like, maybe sometimes I'm getting distracted by things that don't matter and I need to be grounded, or I'm starting to believe something about life or me that's not true. And
yes.
It's not that what I'm thinking about is irrelevant.
Right.
It's just, it's wrong and it's taking me a bad place.
Yeah.
And this grounds me.
Yeah. I mean, in preparation for this, I was looking up a couple of scriptures, and one that came up in Colossians chapter 2, verses 8, it says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ."
Ooh. Can you read that again?
"See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ." And then he goes on to say, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form, and you've been given fullness in Christ." Goes on with, like, here is the core thing that is real and true, and there's so much out there that's just hollow at best,
right,
and deceptive at worst. It's either just empty or it's purposefully trying to take you down. But this is what we have.
Right.
We have been given truth.
Yeah, so again, the silliness, right? I mean, I get distracted by, you know, a hobby that matters. I don't want to say college basketball doesn't matter, because it matters.
It distracts me
a lot, but it is a distraction,
yes,
right? There's nothing wrong with it,
no,
or just kind of the thing of the moment. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how chronically online you are, but have you seen anything about this Willy Wonka experience thing? And
no.
Oh my goodness. They have these moments where they were supposed to be this Willy Wonka deal in Scotland, and you paid £35 for your kid to come, and it turned out it was just a total disaster. It was a total scam. People called the police. And so there's just memes, and it's just nonsense. And you can just tell that it's just hours and hours of just people just being overwhelmed and distracted by just some dumb thing of the day.
Right.
And again, that's not harmful per se.
No.
It's just frivolous. This passage, this verse that you just read us in Colossians, there's something more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what, when you know, I mean, Paul obviously meant something when he wrote that to the people in Colossae, but what are the things, like, what are the examples of that for us? Like, the Bible keeps me grounded so I don't end up surrendering to
hollow and deceptive philosophies. Right. Yeah. I mean, that's a big question.
Right.
I mean, there are things that my kids are wrestling with. I mean, you know, my kids are in public school and they come home from school. And, you know, one child of mine in his junior high school class has a kid who identifies as a banana in his class.
We got a frog.
Yeah.
We got a frog in our school.
And he, you know, he's coming home and he's trying to figure that out. And he's trying to talk about that. And there's a lot out there about what we, quote, should and shouldn't be thinking.
Right.
About people in this space that are wanting to redefine themselves in certain ways. And, you know, but what does God's word tell us?
Right.
Right? Or, I mean, just even, like, I own my own little small business. And I get paid in equivalence to how hard I work at it, right? Mm-hmm. And we could always use a little more money, right? We got a kid coming to college next year. We got, you know, braces and mortgage and a broken air conditioner and whatnot, right? You can always, and so right. Just even as a lesser hot button issue, you know, I'm every day, like, just driven to work really hard at my business, which is good. But then, you know, sometimes I'll go for a week and I have worked really hard at my business, but then it didn't move the needle like I wanted to, or I didn't make the sale that I wanted to. I don't have much financially to show for it.
Right.
And I can find myself thinking, you know, well, one, I just have to keep going, or two, you know, I'm a failure, right? The things I'm putting my effort, like, I'm no good at this. But then that's not what God's word tells me. You know, God's word tells me that I'm beloved, and he tells me that he's going to provide for me no matter how hard I work or don't work in my business. Right. You know, he's going to provide for me, and that, you know, I am protected and cared for and loved, you know. Or, gosh, like, went through this series about relationships, mm-hmm. and recently at church, and, you know, you're in conflict with someone and there's been an obvious sin. You know, we see this in our house all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, our kids are arguing over, I mean, and one of them has sinned against the other one, and there's a real fear. Like, I don't want to admit that. Like, I don't want to apologize. I'm not going to admit that what I did was wrong. Because, you know, there's this deceptive philosophy that tells us,
right,
well, if you just pretend like it was right, everything's fine. Or if you admit it was wrong, then that's going to make you weak. But what does scripture tells us? It tells us if we pretend we don't have sin, the truth, you know, we lie and the truth is not in us. That the pathway to freedom is actually confessing and admitting our sin quickly and repenting.
Right.
Like, that's a completely different message than what the world is giving us. And so, you know, as we're trying to work through these things in our families and our relationships, there's these temptations to wall up and get bitter and, you know, protect ourselves. But then God's word is pushing us to a different way.
Right.
To, you know, like, it's just so counterintuitive, you know, to what we're kind of normally bent to do. So,
well, that's good. You know, I think most people, I guess I would say almost everybody who has familiarity with the Bible, familiarity with Jesus, would say that he was countercultural.
Yes.
That he was, you know, teaching us to be countercultural. I don't think anybody's like, no, man, Jesus kind of wants us to go with the flow of culture. I think everybody understands that. But I think in the world we live in right now, there are kind of two distinct culture pulls, kind of pulling people in kind of two different directions. Mm-hmm. The more and more we get polarized, there's kind of almost two different pulls. And I think there's one that we're more attracted to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm, you know, I'm a Fox News guy versus I'm an MSNBC guy, right? And I can sit and point and look at them and say, they're just getting swept up by culture. But I'm getting swept up in a different place.
Right.
And we don't realize how much we really are allowing what we imagine to be good things.
Mm-hmm.
But good things aren't, I'm going to sound like I'm trying to be quippy when I say good things aren't God things. I'm not trying to be quippy.
Yeah.
But it's like, but that is not what God tells me who I'm supposed to be.
Right.
And it's like, and how do we really stay, to use the word again, how do I stay grounded when half of us are trying, you know, half of America's pulling this way and half's pulling this way. How do I represent God well?
Right.
In this culture and not get swept up in all of it.
Yeah. If we want to do better as the American church in responding to our politics, to our cultural issues, to our social justice issues, we're going to have to do a better job at knowing our Bibles and responding in a thoughtful and informed way. Because right now we don't really respond in a thoughtful and informed way. We just repeat sound bites that we've heard.
Right.
Right. Or we just repeat what some guy told us we're supposed to think about it, but we haven't taken the time to actually look and see what God says about it.
Yeah, there's one verse that Paul says, if somebody doesn't work, they shouldn't eat. And so therefore, I vote Republican.
Right, right.
Wait, no, because there was that one verse where Jesus told that really rich guy to sell everything and give it to the poor.
Right.
Therefore, I vote Democrat.
Right.
As if one verse simply summarizes what the Bible says about the balances between personal responsibility versus generosity versus compassion. And
exactly.
And we just sound like we're just one more ignorant person just saying something, like you talked about last time, the 24-hour news cycle of just nonstop. Where is the thoughtful voice out there? We could be that.
Right. We could be. And we should be. I think as the church, we're called to be that. Like, we're called to be thoughtful and to, you know, to have a response that is informed in the truth and in the character, the full character of who God is.
Well, that's good. I want you to say that again. Grounded in what? Oh. What do you mean by the full character of who God is? What you said? Was that?
Well, the full character of who God is, not just that He is the God of love, or not just that He is the God of justice, or not just that He is the God of, you know, the downtrodden,
right?
That He is God.
Right.
There is fullness in Him. And, you know, we have a lot of really messy problems right now in our world. And messy problems tend to require messy and imperfect solutions that take time and thoughtfulness to figure out. Not quipping, you know?
Right.
Well, we just need to just do this, or we need to just do this. Like, that's what our, and that's what our culture is. That's how we're being taught to think currently.
Right.
And again, renewing our minds with the truth of what this tells us. And, you know, there's some things in here that make me uncomfortable.
Mm.
Right. There's some things in here that I would like to not, you know, well, okay, maybe if that wasn't there, that I realize it's kind of uncomfortable to stand on it right now. And as I'm talking to my kid who has the kid in his class who's a banana, right?
Right.
That I realize if he takes a, you know, stand on some of these cultural issues, it's going to be uncomfortable and it's going to be hard. I get that, but it's in here.
Right.
And I don't get to just throw it away, you know? Like, if I'm a follower of Christ, then we're the people of the book. I don't get to just throw out the things that maybe I'm not comfortable with. Those are things I need to press into. I need to dig into. Because, again, the problem isn't the scripture.
Right. Right? Okay.
It's not that. It's something about me that isn't matured through that yet, or is resisting that. We do need to respond as the church in a way that is loving and kind, but we also have to stand on truth.
So what I'm hearing you say, we live in a very complex world.
Yes.
With a lot of big, deep problems.
Yes.
Which I don't think I don't think we need to spend more than 2 minutes explaining that to anybody, right? It doesn't matter what you think the solutions are. Everybody recognizes we live in a very broken world with a lot of complex problems, and we don't know what to think. We don't know what to believe. And some people, there's so many people out there throwing out just kind of simplistic answers.
Right.
But what, who do I need to be in this world? And really, what are the answers to these big questions requires a level of thoughtfulness.
Yes.
That is ultimately going to be found in being grounded in what God's word says.
Yes, I believe so.
But in addition to figuring out who I need to be and how I can stay grounded in a complex world, let's pretend that the world didn't have all those issues,
okay,
or that the issues didn't reply to me.
Yeah.
I still need grounding. And I heard you say some of this too, just about, you know, you're talking about being about depression or not feeling like you're good enough. Like, how does the Bible help me when, whether the world's off or not, when I'm off?
Yeah. I want to share a verse, another one in here. And this is just an example of just how reading something, I just was reading through Exodus at some point, long time ago, and just reading through this story. And I read this, you know, it's a sentence, but it was like, oh my gosh, that tells me so much about who God is and how he works. Because I have that question a lot in my life.
Right.
Who is God and how are you working? You're not, you know, have you been in a situation where you feel like God hasn't shown up?
Right.
Right. Or it's taking a really long time.
Right.
So it's Exodus 23, verse 29. And it, in the midst, God's about, so he's, you know, got the Israelites are wandering through the desert and he's going to give them a land, but there's people that live in the land. And so they have to
right.
kind of take care of those people first, because again, that's how it worked in the ancient world, right? You had right. to go to war and kill the people or depose them or whatever. And then you could get to go take that land. So there's some people there, and the people that are there are not nice people and they're not doing nice things. And they're people that rightfully should be judged. But it's going to take them a while. It's going to take them longer than what they think it should take them
right.
to make this process happen. And here's what God says. He's talking about, you know, here's what I'm going to do. And these nations are going to, they're going to turn and they're going to run. And we're going to take care of these other people. And then he says, but I will not drive them out in a single year, because the land would become desolate and the wild animals were too numerous for you. Little by little, I'll drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession of the land.
Mm.
It's just a little line in a story about God and the Israelites. But you see what he said there? If this moves too quick, then you guys get eaten by coyotes and bears and whatever else is wandering around. Now, they didn't know that, right?
Right.
But God, who exists outside of our time and sees the beginning and the end at the same time and knows the full story, he knows that. And so if that's true here for them, then that it's true here for me too, right?
That's really good.
So like I'm going through things in my life and I read this story and I see who God is. I see his character and I see an example of when he knew better than I knew. And
right.
he promised to do something and his timing was better than mine. And it changed the way I felt about my situation. It gave me hope. It gave me some peace. It gave me some calm, at least through the end of the day.
That's right? Really good.
It changed what was going on inside of me when I was able to see that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just breaking the simplistic thinking that we have and trying to figure out what's going on in the world, but the overly yeah. simplistic thinking I have in my own brain.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, the phrase that I use, I didn't make it up. I mean, it's called, you know, second level effects. I want this and I'm not getting this. That's bad. But God's like, well, I mean, I know if you got this, you think it would be good. But if this happened, then this would happen. And that's not good, which is why I'm doing this, because... And not just second level effects. I mean, God knows like 47th level effects. So if I do this,
absolutely.
Then this will happen, then this will happen, then this will happen, then this will happen, this will happen. But if you'll just go through this one really rough patch,
yeah,
it's really going to benefit your grandkids' neighbors in ways that I can't even begin to describe to you. But if you'll just be patient with this, I mean, to recognize that there is a God of the universe that is,
yeah,
understands what's going on in the world, past, present, and future, in ways that we don't.
Right.
Helps me just feel a little less worked up about,
yes,
this moment.
Yes. And this may be a slight tangent, but I think in our culture, we've lost a little bit of an understanding of kind of the redemptive value of suffering.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and nobody wants to suffer, and you right. shouldn't want to. It's not what God had in mind for us, right? He created the world perfectly good. The world we have is not what we had,
right?
And it's not the world we will have. It is what it is right now. And we've established that it can be pretty crummy, right? But we still have to live in it. Like, we're still living here. We right. have families with problems. We have financial problems. We have health problems. We have kids with issues. We have hard days. What do we do with all of that? It can bury us quickly. And one of the things I see over and over in Scripture is that the redemptive value of suffering, even right. in the story of the cross, like, what is the worst thing that happened in human history?
Mm.
The Son of God, who was innocent, being murdered in a torturous murder
right.
for a crime he didn't commit. What was the best thing that happened in human history?
Right.
It's the same thing, right? And just, I know that that sounds kind of trite. And again, that's probably another little bumper sticker that's been stuck on, you know, God works everything for good. Therefore, feel okay. But again, that doesn't make it not true. Just because somebody has oversimplified that or not listened to your pain or not given that the credence that it deserves, doesn't make the core of that thing not true. Like, right. I want hope in my life.
Right.
I need hope in my daily life. And hope I find in God's word in abundance. I find it there, and I don't find it a lot anywhere else. Like, it's not actively showing up on Facebook or the news.
I mean, yeah, to me, one of the great benefits for those of us, maybe to kind of go back a little bit, for those of us who have had the Bible misused or overly simplified, somebody says, you know, God's working all things for good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, and then you finally get to that passage and you're like, wait a second. God is always working for my good.
Mm.
It's close to that, but not exactly that. But when I realize what that means, it doesn't mean the suffering I'm going through is good or that somehow it's going to turn good. But even in the worst things, the God of the universe is working for my good.
Yes.
And there's a deeper comfort in that. And so I think just even the ability to move beyond these simplistic things we've been taught, and then you finally realize, what was Paul saying when he says, I can do all things through Christ?
Yeah.
And the really, it's like, no matter, again, same topic, really. I've been through a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I can endure all the things that God, that the world can throw at me, I can get through. Because of what God does. You finally come to some of these verses, you're like, it's actually a lot of depth there.
It is a lot of depth. And again, that's where it comes into reading it in the midst of the rest of what is being said and understanding something about the life of the person who's writing it. Like, Paul lived a terrible life.
Right.
He went through a lot. And so it just gives so much meat to that bone, right? It makes that so much more of a compelling statement, because for someone to have gone through what he went through and to say that is a revolutionary thought, right?
Like, yeah,
it's so counter to what we're going to naturally go to. So, right. Maybe a step is, you know, when some of these little quippy verses that we feel like have been bumper stickered on, is to go and read them. Find the book that they're in and read the whole book, you know, read the whole book. And if Paul wrote the book, then, you know, do a little bit of Google searching and figure out some stuff about Paul's life. Right.
Right.
Or, I mean, like, get an idea of the setting of what's going on and who this person is, and then read it in the context of everything else that's written.
Right.
And it will take on new life.
So I'm a categorizer and an oversimplifier. So I've heard two main reasons why it would be great for us. One is trying to make sense of the world,
mm-hmm.
and then helping us understand who we are in that world.
Yeah.
You got anything else? Like things that just really kind of stick out to you? Like, hey, you need to really be getting into God's word so that I just want to make sure I want to fully explore all the awesome things rattling around in your head.
Well, you probably heard I guess it's a metaphor, you know, another metaphor we're going to throw out, but, or just the story of, you know, the guys that study to find counterfeit money, mm-hmm. right? That, because, you know, people are printing dollar bills and you want to know what's the real dollar bill and what's the fake dollar bill. And the guys that are tasked with that, the way that they get good at figuring out what is the fake dollar bill is that they know the real dollar bill really, really, really well. They spend a lot of time understanding every little intricate detail of that real dollar bill. They don't spend as much time studying all the fakes, but they, because they know the real one's so good, when the fake one comes, they spot it easily. There's just a lot of, like, the Bible has been around for a long time, and we've mm-hmm. established that there's people that misuse it, that quote it for their own purposes of power and hurt, or people that just quote it and don't know what they're talking about, or will tell you, oh yeah, well, it means this. And how are you going to recognize if that's real or not? Then that next person that comes knocking on your door that wants to tell you, well, there's more books, you know, there's more Bible, mm-hmm. or, you know, I have this Bible and this version. How are you going to know?
Right.
Right. So, like, there's just a lot out there of misinformation, and the way to recognize it is to get really, really familiar with the real thing.
That's really, really good. That's a great place to stop. And it kind of sets us up, I think, perfectly for what I want to talk about next is, because what I'm hearing there is there's a lot of great things that God can do, where you can get grounded, where you can understand, but it doesn't sound like that's a simple task.
Hmm.
And so how do we get from wherever we are now to that place? We can talk about that. Maybe just how do we get going? What are some good tips? And so we'll do that. Melanie, thanks so much for joining us. And thank you also for being with us. And again, we got one more episode in this particular series, in this larger series we're doing on the Bible. So I encourage you to come back and join us for that. And if you are not connected to The Grove, we would love to get connected with you. You can find us at thegrovechurch.org/connect. Learn about our Sunday services and any way that we can help you or serve you. Please let us know. And again, thank you so much for joining The Grove Church Cultivate Podcast.